Notes of the work. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia, June 17, 1898. We find that we have much to be thankful for. During the week of prayer, we had very pleasant weather, cool mornings and nights, and beautiful, sunshiny days. We are very thankful to our Heavenly Father that He has been with us of a truth. Throughout the week, we had all that we could do. The first Sabbath, we had a full house. In the morning, at 9:45, Sabbath school was held. One of the articles for the week of prayer was read. We thought it best to send horses and carriages to Dora Creek and Martinsville to bring up the women and children who could not come on foot. We also provided lunch for them, and while they waited between the services, read to them the articles prepared for the week of prayer. At 3 p.m., the Lord gave me freedom to speak. I felt drawn out to speak particularly upon the necessity of doing missionary work in all the region round about. If we really believe the truth, the outward life will testify of it. We are anxious that our teachers and students shall have much of the Holy Spirit of God. Through the grace of God, we may be just and pure and diligent in all our works in connection with our fellow men. Notwithstanding, there will be much to dishearten and sadden the soul, because of bigotry and formalism and unbelief among those who should have faith, we can exclaim, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are His." 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. The worse the situation appears, the more light and life we must have. We must cherish cheerfulness and let the world know that we are reflecting the light of the Sun of Righteousness. The carelessness of many, the example and influences of the world, the tendencies of the time to regard neither God nor man, is no excuse why those who believe the Word should grow lax, weak in faith, or indifferent in the discharge of the work to which they have been appointed. We have had the light, while many have not had the light regarding the binding claims of the fourth commandment. Our work must correspond with our faith. Circumstances must be mastered by our moral courage and faith in Christ Jesus. We are to pray in faith, looking heavenward and saying, "I will not fail nor be discouraged." See Isaiah 42, verse 4. The whole earth is to be lightened with the glory of the Lord. The pure in heart shall see God. It is those who are following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth that will receive power from that angel that came down from heaven having great power. Revelation 18, verse 1. The first message is to be repeated, proclaiming the second advent of Christ to our world. The second angel's message is to be repeated. Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verses 2, 3. This prophecy will be fulfilled, and the earth will know that the heavens do rule. Christ is coming with power and great glory. He will come with all the holy angels with Him. He will come with His own glory and with the glory of the Father. While all the world is plunged in darkness, there will be light in every dwelling of the saints. They will catch the first light of His second appearing. What a day that will be when the unsullied light will shine from His splendor, and Christ the Redeemer will be admired by all who have received Him. All who have served him will catch the undimmed rays of the glory and brightness of the King in his majesty. In that day, those who have been counted as the lowly ones will be the truly lofty. The means to sustain the work is unequal to the demand, yet a beginning has been made. Even in Kurenbong, since we have located here, we have felt the necessity of a hospital where the sick could be treated. Miss McEnterfer has been called on from far and near to do the work of nurse and physician. She has gone on horseback to places where a carriage could not go. At one place, a little lad was badly scalded. His sufferings were great. His family knew not what to do for him. They could not sleep because of his agonizing cries. Miss McEnterfer could not tell how the case would turn, but she worked tenderly and carefully, dressing the wounds. She made her applications of hot water compresses. What a wonderful restorer this is. After the first work that was essential to be done was finished, the little fellow slept, and the family slept. Day after day, she treated this case. She prayed as well as worked, and through the blessing of the Lord, the lad was perfectly restored. That was indeed a very grateful family.
In many such cases, Miss McEnterfer has been called to relieve suffering. One lad, about 10 years old, was running to chase a calf out of the yard when he was thrown down, his foot slipping into a hold where there was a broken glass bottle. The glass cut a deep gash in his ankle. After 10 days, Miss McEnterfer was sent for. She did not at first think she could save the foot, but she prayed and worked. The greatest care was required in touching the foot. It was a terrible-looking wound. One, as soon as she looked at it, fainted away. She had come to assist Miss McEnterfer, but could not do anything. After 2 days' treatment, Miss McEnterfer saw that the case needed more constant care, that special efforts must be put forth, and after talking the matter over, we decided to take him to our home, having his aunt go with him to remain with him. We boarded the two. Sarah treated the foot for 10 days, and it was saved. The lad is now walking about perfectly well. We thank God that he was restored to soundness. When they asked what they should pay for this care, Sarah told them that she did not do this work for money, but out of pity and compassion for suffering humanity. The relatives of this boy were touched by these things. There have been other cases which I do not care to relate. In one case, through proper treatment, the efforts made brought a young man back from death. Great hopes were entertained of his recovery. Some who were with Miss McEnterfer, who lived near, were watching the case. The family consisted of the mother and the father and several brothers who were hard-drinking men. They were strictly charged to give him no brandy or rum. The young man was doing well, and the neighbors returned home. When the doctor, whom they had sent for to Newcastle, came, he said he was much better. The family asked if they should give him any liquor, and he said, a very little. They gave him the drink, and it snapped the thread of life. Those drunken men knew not what they were about. The mother said that they poured the liquor down his throat, and he could not help himself, and she could do nothing to prevent them. He was the only member of the family of boys who would not use liquor. When the neighbors came in the morning, the mother said, they have killed my son. They have killed my son. Oh, how my heart ached as I thought of that murder in that house. The father and brothers had imbibed liquor until they knew not what they were about. This was considered a very affectionate family, but the rum demon took away their senses. They became as all men become when they sell their reason for strong drink. Many such calls have been made, and all have been successfully treated, with the exception of one woman who was in the agonies of death
when help reached her. Another case was that of Brother Thompson's little son, about 9 years of age, who fell with his knee upon a stone. The knee became very large, and the lad was obliged to use a crutch. The doctors could do nothing to relieve the child. It had been in this condition for 6 months when the father brought the boy to Kurenbong. He came to work on the chapel in this place. Sister McEnterfer looked at the knee, and she had compassion on the bright, promising lad. She took him in charge and gave him thorough treatment twice each day with bandages of flannel as hot as he could bear it. This treatment helped him, and the swelling went down. Now the boy is as active as if he had never been injured. The mother and father and family of 10 children were glad to know that their son and brother was not to remain a helpless cripple for life. We assure you that there is abundance to be done in medical missionary lines in this place. We have no time to lose in the work of temperance, in the restoration of the poor outcasts, the unhappy homeless ones. The Lord has a work for men and women to do. If Christ is abiding in the heart, He will sanctify the soul temple. Our hearts will be earnest and full of divine sympathy. Whatever we do, we will do as if in the full view of the whole universe of heaven. Men and women, you may with perfect consistency wear the badge that declares you medical missionaries. This means temperance in all things, and by it you make a silent, personal appeal.